Mark chapter number 5. And let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we preach on this sacred subject tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the work that I believe that you've begun to do in our hearts, Lord, in this month that we're focusing on worldwide missions. And I pray, Lord, that you'd continue that work tonight through the power of your word. And Lord, please, the tenderness, our tenderness towards your spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, if you don't mind marking in your Bible, if you look at verse number 19, it says, Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, if you don't mind underlining or circling the next two words, here they are, listen to this, go home, go home. He hadn't been able to go home. He lost the opportunity to be at home. The devil had evicted him from his normal life. The Bible tells us that there was come one out of the tombs, verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Now, folks, can I say this? That saddens me. I've told folks many times that the best part of any trip that I've ever taken in my life is when I pull back in my own driveway. I love home. I love home. I use a GPS. I do. I don't trust a GPS. All my preacher friends, they laugh at me because they say Ross will always have, along with his GPS, he'll always have an old-fashioned spiral-bound paper atlas. Amen. You're not. I don't care. You can bring all the technology you want. You're not getting my atlas away from me, okay? Because I've read stories of GPSs taking people into lakes and off cliffs, and I think there's a couple cars down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon that were following their GPS. And but you know what? I'll still use it, and I'll turn it on, and I can hit this one button, and it'll give me some choices recently found and some other things. And there's one little picture of a house, and there's above that it says, go home. And you know what? I will tell you this. Every single time, no matter where I'm at, when I push that button, there's a smile that comes on my face. Here's a man that did not have a home, did not have a home. I've preached all kinds of places, and I thank God that when I went to Bible college, I went to a Bible college that encouraged preachers to preach. I don't understand guys that have gone 4 years, 5 years to Bible college, and then they tell me when they get out, they come in and talk to me and say, I'm having trouble putting sermons together. And I'll say, didn't you preach in Bible college? Well, maybe once or twice in homiletics. And I think to myself, man, did you hear what Brother Tillman said? I love that story this morning. That was fantastic, you know. He remember the story he told about there was a black man and he in Chattanooga, and when he was lost, this black man would come and stand on the corner and preach, and he went to that man and cursed him and told him, if you want to preach, go find a church, but get off the street. And God, after Brother Tillman got saved, God convicted his heart about what he told that man, and God made him go back down to that same corner and stand where that preacher once preached. And he said he preached there almost every single day for as long as the Spirit told him, you know something, if you're called to preach, get out there and preach, man. I mean, there's nursing homes that need preachers, and there's, and you know, I preached all the time in Bible college. You know what I found out was this? If you're ready, God opens a door. You know why I got a lot of opportunities to preach in Bible college? Other guys would commit to preach somewhere, and they would then at the last minute realize they weren't ready. And they would come see Jerry Ross because they knew I've never said no. I mean, never said no. If there was an opportunity to preach and I knew God's hand was in it, I was ready to go. And guys would knock on my dormitory door and say, hey, tomorrow night I was supposed to go here. And they'd make up some excuse and they'd say, well, do you think you could cover for me? And I'd, yes. Because you know what? God had called me to preach, and I wanted to preach. And you know, one of the delights, one of the places I got an opportunity to preach was at the rescue mission there in Hammond. And I loved preaching at the rescue mission. Now think about that. We're talking about heaven's homeless folks. You go to that rescue mission, and you know what? You know why those men were filling up those dorms at the rescue mission? You know why those pews were filled? Because the devil had done to them just what he did to this man right here. And you know what? The devil hates the home. And the devil will do everything he can to destroy the home. You know what? The devil wants you to be homeless. Homeless. You say, preacher, there's a lot of lost people that are not saved, but they're not homeless. Well, they may not be homeless here on earth, but they don't have heaven as their home. And you know what? In my book, if you haven't locked that in, you're homeless. You may be living in a house somewhere, but you're homeless. And you know what? I believe this. People talk about, well, what makes a house a home? Let me give you a quick answer to that. Jesus Christ makes a house a home. That's the difference. I mean, my mom and dad, 1966, had four little kids and was living in a house. But you know what? I'll tell you when it became a home. When my mom and dad received Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Ross house became the Ross home, and God turned it into a home. And so even people that are living in houses without Christ, in my book, they're homeless still. They're still homeless. And you know what our job is? Our job is to go out and find heaven's homeless. And you know what? Tell them about a home. Tell them what Jesus Christ can do and is willing to do in their life. Heaven's homeless. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let me give you several things. Number one, the curse of sin leaves a man without a home. Leaves a man without a home. You say, where did you get that? Well, we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. You know what? God didn't just make a man. He made a home for that man before he made a man. He didn't just make a woman. He made a home for that woman before he made a man and a woman. And you know what? He made that garden specifically for them. He didn't just create them. He had a place prepared for them. God gave them a home. And what did sin do? Sin drove them out of that home. You know what? After their eyes were opened and they took of that forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know what God said? He said, hey, there's another tree in this garden. It's called the tree of life. And you know what? We can't let them have that now. And remember those angels. Isn't that sad? You think about it. The angels stood there with flaming swords. And you know what? They ran them out of their home. You can't come back home. And you know what? Sin has made all of us homeless. It's made all of us homeless. We're not born into this world. heading for heaven as our home. We're born into this world homeless in an eternal aspect. But not only that, young people, please listen to me. I've watched sin tear up a lot of homes. I've watched sin tear up a lot of marriages. I've watched sin get into the hearts of young people in stubbornness and rebellion to the point where they'll leave the safety of their own home and risk danger and risk everything. And it wasn't the Lord that told them to do it. It was the devil that told them to do it. And the devil likes to destroy homes. The curse of sin leaves a man without a home. Here's a perfect example. And by the way, you want to just break this down. Listen, you give your, oh, preacher, I don't know if I don't believe this demonic possession stuff. And I'll tell you this, the same devil that destroyed this man's life and turned him into what he turned him into is doing a pretty good job of doing the same thing today in society. I mean, read down through it. You know, folks, listen to me. It says here that Jesus shows up. And here we have this man in verse number 2. He's in the tombs. Of all the places, he's in the tombs. Tell me that there's not a sick infatuation with this matter of death. Why is all of the talk about zombies? I was behind a car the other day, and it looked like a respectable car. It wasn't a piece of junk. It looked like a respectable car and a respectable person in that car. And on the back of the car was a bumper sticker that says, "I don't break for zombies." I thought to myself, what would possess a man in his right mind to buy a bumper sticker that says, "I don't break for zombies," and put it on the bumper? But you know what? There's this infatuation with death. I'm going to blow the trumpet one more time. But you parents that are letting your kids bring these video games into your home, you say, "Oh, well, I checked it out." Well, you know what? There's all kinds of video games that are designed for parents to check out, and there's secret openings and secret levels, and get on the internet, and you can find out how to get through this door. And, it's rated really bad, but I looked at it, and there's nothing bad on it. That's because the bad part's not happening when you're in the room. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This whole idea of letting kids, and by the way, I've got grown men in this church that are addicted to this nonsense, and you need to grow up and put your games away. All right, and you think there's something, you think it doesn't harm you to sit there and play a game where you're blowing people's heads off and blood splattering and people's heads are being cut off and people are being run over, and you don't think that's desensitizing you and doing same things to your mind that shouldn't be done? What I'm saying is good night. When I was a child, I behaved as a child. I thought as a child, and I understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen, that was for free, all right? Time for a generation to grow up a little bit. What are you talking about? I'm talking about going home, getting a little Game Boy or the Xbox, and take it out to the dumpster outside, get a sledgehammer and bust it up. And by the way, your wife will probably sit down and cry. She's so happy because you're finally going to come home and carry on a conversation with her and maybe even play with the kids a little bit. Amen. All right. The curse of sin leaves a man without a home. And boy, the devil's doing it. He's getting into the houses because we're opening doors and letting him in. He's getting in through the movies and the television. He's getting into our homes. And you know what? He's tearing homes up pretty soon. Here's a man that you can't bind. You couldn't even bind him with chains. Here's a man that they had to run him out of town. He's living amongst the tombs. The Bible says in verse 5, always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. You know, all these little things that nobody wants to talk about publicly, but you'd be surprised how many young people are into this cutting thing. And you know what? It has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with God. The Holy Spirit of God's never entered in the heart of a young people and said, "Why don't you take something and cut yourself up?" Now, folks, if it's not God, we better figure out what it is. And young man, young lady, I've never seen a young person that did this that wasn't also listening to some type of demonic music. You start sneaking around behind your parents' back and listen to the wrong kind of music, you know what? You're going to begin some type of self-destructive behavior. And I'm talking about how the devil gets in. And you know what? Here comes Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? This man has gotten himself in about as big a mess as anybody can get themselves into. And you know what? I have no doubt some people said, we've got no choice. Run him out of town. Here's the word they probably use. It's a hopeless situation. And I don't believe in that word hopeless. I believe as long as there's God, there's hope. Amen. Here comes Jesus. And you know what? All of these demons that were so powerful in controlling this man, and he couldn't win. Jesus shows up and they start speaking out of that man, begging for mercy before Jesus has a chance to say much of anything. They're begging for mercy. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so I'm glad I got Jesus on my side. Well, you think about all those demon stuff and fallen spirits and the devil and all of this. You know what, folks? I know Jerry Ross can't take on any of that stuff, and I'm not going to try to by myself. But I know this, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I say this often because I want you to remember, you open your King James Bible and show me any place where the Bible says a born-again Christian, a blood-bought, Holy Spirit indwelt, supposed to run from the devil. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I'm not saying resist him in your own power and your own might. You know what? Read Revelation chapter number 12. You know how they defeated the devil? They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I want to preach that outline right now, but if you'll look at that outline and you'll energize that outline in your life and begin to live that way, listen, the devil will quake when you come walking into town too. And here comes Jesus. And you know what? He delivers this man. But you know what? One of the sweetest parts of this entire story is when he gets saved and he gets reclaimed and he's freed from demonic control. And here they come back in verse 15. They come to see Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil. There he is. He had a legion of them. Boy, he had a bunch of them. But here he is. He's sitting. Notice how calm he is. Notice how calm he is. Every once in a while I have a parent come to me, and I don't want you to take this wrong. I'm probably a bad time to mention this in the context of the story, but sometimes a parent will come to me, and they get that toddler, and they're about 2, 3, and 4 years old, and man alive, they're fighting battles with them, and that old sin nature's coming out. And I've had parents come to me just sit down in tears, and well, you know, preacher, I don't know. We're trying to do all the right things, and what in the world? And you know what I always tell them? I said, you know what? Remember, that child's not saved yet. I said, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of things get settled when a child just gets Jesus. And I'm not saying don't stay after it. I'm not saying don't discipline. I'm not saying don't do all the right things. But you got to remember, until that child gets saved, you're working with somebody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. And that's why, look right up here. That's why some of you, that you're a two-year-old tantrum thrower, only you're 16, 17, and 18. Excuse me, but let me just question your salvation for just a minute. You're still defying your parents. You still got a rebellious spirit. I mean, we can't find a spiritual pulse on you. You want to tell about some little prayer you prayed sometime. Well, God bless you. But where are the evidences? By the way, are there more evidence? Do you have more in line and more of a testimony in line with this demonic before Jesus or after Jesus came? All right. How about this? We're just going to settle in. This is good when it gets quiet. Amen. The Bible says this. It doesn't stop there. It says that the devil not only was sitting, but he was clothed. You know what? You didn't have to fuss at this man about putting clothes on. Again, if you have a track record, I mean, your track record, okay, young lady, ever since, good night, man alive, you looked in the mirror one day and realized you weren't a little girl anymore. And all of a sudden something enters your heart and you fussed with your mom and dad ever since that moment to try to show off and dress wrong. And you hold bitterness in your heart towards the clear teachings of the Bible when it comes to biblical modesty. And let me just say this. Who do you have more in common with? The man here before Jesus came or after Jesus came? I find people that truly get saved, you usually don't have to fuss a whole lot about that stuff with them. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit helps them settle some things here. And the Bible says, in his right mind. And again, boy, I'm going to tell you something. Just witnessing to people nowadays, folks, listen to me, watch this, and tell me if it's not true. If you try to witness, you know how hard it is in this day and age. I mean, it's changed so much since I was in Bible college. It's been almost 30 years ago, but I'd sat down with most people in Bible college when I was trying to lead them to the Lord or win them to Christ, and they mentally could follow me through the plan of salvation. I'm going to tell you, the honest truth is, most of the time I'm trying to just go through a 15 to 20 minute presentation of the gospel. Their minds are here and here and question and there and confusion and this, bring this, and I mean, sometimes it's an hour and I can't even get past the first two lines because you know what? They are not in their right minds. You know why? Because the devil's gotten in younger and younger and younger. Me and Brother Jeff Reiser are just talking about this. And one of the battles we fight with the bus ministry honestly, with getting kids up on Sunday and on the bus is these crazy video games. Parents got it in their head because it's the weekend. Just let the kids stay up all night. They'll stay up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, sometimes all night. Sleep all day Sunday because they're addicted to these video games. And there's something that's just, listen, they're not in their right minds. And here we go. You say, preacher, you're painting a pretty impossible situation. Well, no, I'm not, because look what happened. Jesus can still deliver them. Jesus can still save them. But the curse of sin leaves a man without a home. But an encounter with Jesus Christ gives a man a chance to have a home. And you know, one of the sweetest part of this story is when we get down in our text tonight, in verse number 19, you know what? Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, there it is, go home. Go home. You know what? This man hadn't been able to go home for a long time. Now you can go home. But he didn't tell him just to go home and sit on the couch. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And here's this man, and he went. He got to go home. Go to Matthew chapter number 9. I'm going to have you move in your Bibles a bit tonight. I want you to see these things. Matthew chapter number 9. We're talking about heaven's homeless. Matthew chapter number 9. We see a story in the first 8 verses of Matthew chapter number 9. Here again, Jesus is about to have an encounter. Chapter 9, verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, whereof think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and watch this, here it is, and go where? Unto thine house. How many of you believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? This man, you know what he spent his days doing? Laying out on the street. You know what he spent his day doing? Being carted about from this place and this place. I don't know. You know, folks, I'll just tell you human nature. I wonder how many relatives he's been passed around. I mean, how many people said, listen, we've done this as long as we can. It's time for your sister to do it for a while. And it's time for your brother to do it for a while. And no matter where he went, he never found a home, never felt at home. And you know what Jesus said when he healed him? He said, you go to your house now. And there's something sweet about that. You know, like I said, folks, I don't believe, you can say whatever you want to, I don't believe lost people know what it is to have a home. They can have a house, they can function, but there's something about a home. And you know what? The only way to have that is let Jesus come in on it. I'm not going to go there tonight and reread the story of the 10 lepers. But you know what? Matter of fact, I'm not even sure I want to mention anything about lepers on the same Sunday that Tommy Tillman came and preached out of that passage. When he started saying, we're going to talk about the 10 lepers, and I thought, man, alive, I want to hear Brother Tommy Tillman preach on the 10 lepers. Amen. That was a blessing. But you say, well, preacher, 9 of them should have come back. And by the way, they should have. And you know what? We're right to say that. And if I'm going to give them any way out, and I'm not saying I'm giving them out, but I bet you I know what they were thinking. Do you understand, folks? Did you hear what he said this morning? Leprosy, you go to the leper colony. Even in Bible times, leprosy, unclean, unclean. I mean, you know what? You've ate your last meal at your dining room table. You spent your last evening sitting with your wife and your children. Okay? You don't get to bounce the grandkids on the knee. You know what? Leprosy, by the way, what's leprosy a type of? It's a type of sin. Sin destroys homes. Sin makes you homeless. And you know what? These 9, they're on their way to the priest to show themselves. And all of a sudden they look down. And you know what? I'll bet you anything. Now, shouldn't that preacher, again, I'm not making excuses. Their first thought should have been, go back and thank the one who done it. And that ought to be our first thought, young men and young ladies. Thankfulness, 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 thankfulness. It's dying. It's dying in this generation. But you know what? I can't help but think maybe those 9, the first thought they had was, I want to go home. I just want to go home. Now, folks, what I'm saying is this. You know what? An encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ gives a man a chance to have a home here on earth, a real home here on earth. And not only that, gives him a chance to have a home one of these days in heaven. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. Go over, if you will, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I want to say something else here. Number one, the curse of sin leaves a man without a home. We're going to Luke chapter number 9. The curse of sin leaves a man without a home, number one. Number two, an encounter with Jesus Christ gives a man a chance to have a home. Now, I want to remind you of something because we all need to hear this. In Luke chapter number 9, I want you to notice this, verse 57. Look at verse 57. We're going to read down a ways. Here's number three. Jesus became homeless so that he could give us a chance to have a home. Now, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Verse 57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. See, you thought Brother Tillman was a little out of his mind when he said, I got to go into all the world. And his wife said, what do you mean? Take me to the highway. You say, preacher, you say, he must have lost his mind. I don't know. Well, he did. He slept in the cemeteries. Didn't you hear his testimony? And in the cornfields and in vacant houses. You mean he didn't have a place to lay his head? Wow. How about that? And that's what Jesus was willing to do. He was willing to do that for me. He was willing to do that for you. Hey, you know what? I can't imagine what it was like the last day in heaven before the Holy Spirit miraculously was to take the Son of God from heaven and place him in the womb of a virgin. I don't know what it's like when Jesus was here on earth. But I couldn't help but think this. You know, when he was saying these things to his disciples like this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You imagine Jesus sitting there, and here he is trodden this old earth. He didn't have a place to lay his head. And you know what? As he's telling them about a better place, well, maybe he's just saying it with just a little touch of homesickness. You know what? For 33 years, he chose. I mean, didn't the old song say, he left the portal or the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny was a lonely hill called Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. And isn't it appropriate that the chorus says, you know it? Sing it with me. If that isn't love, then the oceans are dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love. He hugged his father by the neck. All the angels come and wiping tears. They know he's just not leaving home. They know that he that knew no sin was about to become sin. They looked down at a planet and saw a bunch of homeless people. And Jesus said, I want to try to go down there and see if I can get some of them home. I'm willing to go down and see if I can get some of them home. Let me have you go to Luke 23. This just keeps getting better. Luke chapter number 23. So he does what God sent him to do. And here he is now hanging on a cross on a hill called Golgotha. And he knew this when he came. He knew what the end was going to be. And then we see in Luke chapter number 23, and if you will, look at verse number 39. Here it is. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. There's so much in that scripture. You know, before you can get saved, you have to remember Jesus is sent the sinless Son of God, and that you're not worthy of it. This man knew that he hung on that cross because he was getting what he deserved. But notice what he says in verse 42. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you know what Jesus says? Look at verse 43. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, watch this. When Jesus, on the day he died, he took a boy home with him. He found a little homeless boy hanging on a cross next to him. And he's like, you know what? I'm going home. I've missed it for 33 years. I'm going home. By the way, let me tell you what home is. Home is paradise. It's paradise. You know what? I want you to come with me. I'm going to make sure you get home with me. And Jesus, that day, the Bible says that day, today. A lot of people have a lot of theories about where Jesus went and when he went and how he went. All I know is this. If Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise, I guarantee you, he got that boy home. He got that boy home. I think he needed to go up there first in any way to sprinkle on the blood on the mercy seat. But he got that boy home. Listen, can you imagine? Here comes Jesus back into heaven, and he's done what he was sent to do, only he doesn't walk in by himself. He's got his arm around a thief. Sin had made him homeless. I couldn't help but wonder, and I don't know. I'm going to get to find this guy and talk to him one of these days. What causes a young man to end up dying on a cross, Roman soldiers executing him? I wonder what kind of daddy he had. I wonder what kind of mom he had. I wonder what kind of life he lived. I wonder what kind of sin he got into. I wonder what the devil did to trick him. I wonder how many times he'd been in and out of prison and up and down, and maybe he'd gotten jaded and hateful. And you know what, folks? This world will turn you into that. And every time he turned around, he never got a break. And he said, I'll do it my way then. And he got in trouble. And you know what? All that rebellion and sin and the devil got. By this time, the devil's got a noose around his neck. And he's leading him through this life into one pitfall after another. Till all of a sudden, some judge in some court says guilty, sentenced to death. And he finds himself hanging on a cross. Listen, folks, listen to me. I'm talking about on the verge, on the edge of hell. And there Jesus is. And he says, you know, I came to find you. The Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost for all eternity. My Father knew that you'd be here. And all this path that I, listen, the day that I was to be here was coordinated in heaven so that I could stand, hang beside you. And listen, can you imagine? I just picture this. I think when Jesus came in, you know, all the angels I think Jesus was glad. And I can't imagine that reunion between him and the Father. Oh, whew. But I think after a lot of that was done, he never got that boy very far away. And he pulled him in and he said, Father, I'll be back. I promised this boy I'd take him home. And as he's walking down the street, he's seeing mansions built here and mansions built there. And he's looking around at all that heaven has to offer. And he thinks about this, you know, this horror of a life that he lived and all of the disappointments. And yet it was all changed. It was changed. When he looked over to his left and there on the cross was the Son of God, everything changed. And he pulls up and he stands in front of a completed mansion. And there's some angels there and they're wiping sweat hard. And they're like, sorry, this is a little bit of a rush job. And the boy's standing there with tears running down his face. And we didn't know you're bringing one with you. He walks around, looks at all the rooms, tears running down. Are you kidding? This is yours. This is yours. Well, I've never really had a home. Well, you've got one now. And by the way, I'm your brother. You met God the Father. He's your Father. And anything you need, you come see us. Whoo, what about that? What about that? You know, Jesus, he decided, you know what? I love home. I love home. But I'm going to spend some time away from home so that I can find those that don't have a home and get them to my home. Look right up here, church. We had a good man here this morning, And I know I told you this. Listen, I don't take these men in their lives and twist them into a guilt trip. And listen, I don't. If I call you to Thailand, you wouldn't stay there a week. If God calls you, you'll stay there a lifetime. But I'm going to tell you this. Aren't you glad there's people? I mean, these missionaries that are back there hanging on the wall, I don't know how you young people view them, but they're heaven's heroes. They got a mama like you and a daddy like you and brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews. Some of them are serving still on the field as grandparents. May not see their grandkids for 2 or 3 years at a time. They grew up in a hometown just like you came from a hometown. And you know what? They're Americans like you're Americans. But there was a day that they got on a plane or a boat and said, you know what? If them folks over yonder is ever going to find their way home, somebody's got to leave their home for a while here to help them get them home. That's why I say, and I'm going to say it again, that's why I want the young people and the young couples and every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be tender about this matter of what God would call you to do. I don't want you to surrender because of a burden. You can get burdened about something and mistake that for a call. Now, please listen to what I'm going to say. I've been to Mexico 5 times, I think 5, maybe 6 times. And you know what? Every time I go down there, I get a burden. But you know what? I've never got a call. If I'd have got a call, I'd be there. And you know, be careful, because sometimes emotions are different than a call. I hope that you feel a burden for everybody that comes, every area that's presented. I hope there's something in your heart that every time somebody comes, you say to yourself, oh my goodness sakes, and your burden, because you know what? Your eye's supposed to affect your heart. The day your eye doesn't affect your heart when it comes to lost souls is a sad day in your Christian life. Okay? If you're sitting back there watching these clips and these shows, and when I say show, the clips and the presentations, and all you want to do is snicker at the people because they look different than you, then, you know, again, you might want to see whether or not you're saved. Okay? But you know what? I understand people getting a burden, but there's a difference between a burden and a call. A burden is a kind of the result of an emotion, and I'm not saying that but you know, a call, calling of God's without repentance, calling of God's there whether or not anything emotional happening or not. It comes in strong long after all the things that could cause emotion are gone. But I'm saying that because I don't want you to have an emotional month and make an emotional decision. Young people, I don't want you to go to a youth conference or a youth camp and have an emotional week and make an emotional decision. But I do want you to listen to the call of God. Because in every generation, God calls young men into the ministry and young men to do that. Now, let me finish up by look up here, because I went, well, preacher, God hasn't called me to leave my home and to go to Thailand or go to China or go to Australia or go to Africa. Look right up here. Listen to me. God saved you. And because of that, you have a chance as Christians to have something wonderful. It's called a Christian home. I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing. I love home. I love home. It's nothing like going home. I told you, you know what? Turn my GPS on, go home, smile on my face. I love when the end of a day when I finally get a walk in the door. I love it when every once in a while we get an evening at home together. Every once in a while we'll take a day and just, and you know, there's things we need to catch up at home. And you know what? I wake up on those days and I'm excited. I'm just, you know, I get to stay here. Those of you always want to go. I want to stay. But here's the problem. If I'm not careful, I just get to the point where I love home so much. You know, home's where you go to relax. Home's where you go to rest. Home's where you go to recharge. But if we're not careful, preacher, man, I work so much, and man, by the time I get home, you know what? You get home from work, it's a lot easier. Just stay home than it is to eat a quick meal and head over to Wednesday night church. You worked hard all day. It's a lot easier to stay at home than it is on visitation night. Listen, Saturday finally comes. It's a lot easier to stay home. It would be. If you've got a Christian home and you know what, there's always something to do at home. It's a lot easier to just say, man, I'm just going to take my Saturdays and just, I got things to do at the house. But somebody has to decide if Jesus was willing to leave his home for 33 years. No place to lay his head. I can't say that. I've got a place to lay my head. Can't I break away from the joys and the sweetness of home several times a week just to go out and try to find some homeless, heaven's homeless, and give them an opportunity to go home? And so I want to challenge you with that thought this morning. I wanted to learn how to be a soul winner. I mean more than just normal, more than just average. When I went to Bible college, I went there. So I mean this, when I made the decision to go to Bible college, I was not going there because I was called to preach. I didn't make the decision. I made it before I was called to preach. I made the decision because I knew that if I went to Bible college, I could get a concentrated training experience that would help me to be a better soul winner the rest of my life. And you know what? In order to achieve that, I had to leave home. 17 years of age, I packed my little car up here at the front of the parsonage, and I packed my stuff, and I went off to Bible college. And you know what? For the next 8 years, I lived away from home. And you know what? I slept in a dormitory, but I got to see a lot of people saved. Dormitory's not home. You know, there's really no biblical proof for purgatory, but that's about the closest thing I've ever found to it. I went up to the streets of, by the way, well, I'm glad I went to Fisherman's Club. I'm glad I learned how to be a soul winner. You know what I did on my Saturdays? I wandered around trying to, took me a long time just to figure out how to do it right. I wanted to do it right. I remember one time, it was Sunday morning. I went out soul winning Saturday and had for several Saturdays and hadn't won anybody to Christ. And I was so burdened about it. And I thought to myself, I got up early on Sunday morning, woke up like 6 o'clock, and I got in my car and I said, I'm going to go to church. I got ready and got to my car about 7 and headed to the church house. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to get there early before church and I'm just going to walk around. And I don't know if anybody will be up on a Sunday morning or not, but I was just so burdened. You know what? I left home to do this. I wanted to find somebody that was homeless. About 3 blocks from the church, I'm just walking around. Streets are empty. You know how it is on a Sunday morning. I mean, out in the world, streets are empty. I'm thinking, what in the world? I saw a little cafe. It looked like the sign was open. And I walked over there and looked in the window, and there was an older black man that was sitting in there at a booth. And I went in there, and I didn't have a lot of money, but I had enough money for a cup of coffee. And I grabbed a cup of coffee, and I looked over at him, and I said, man, I hate drinking coffee by myself. Can I sit with you? He said, come on. He's looking at me like, what's this white boy want, you know? And we got to talking. I found out where he's from. Boy, you tell just by looking. Listen, folks, there ain't nothing like what the sin does to you. Leave the marks of sin. I mean, marks of sin. Come on. It's just all over this man. I don't know how old he was. He seemed like an old man to me. Probably. He's probably about my age, you know, now. But he seemed like an old man back then. And I said, you live here in town? And he pointed right across. And there was right across the street there a place called the Roosevelt Motel. And it's just, I mean, boy, you talk about a dive. It was just a dive. And he said, well, I stayed there. Then he looked at me and said, I stayed there, but I haven't had a home in a lot of years. I told him, where do you call home? I stayed there. I haven't had a home in a lot of years. And he said, what is it you want? I pulled out my New Testament. I didn't even open. I just laid it on there. And I said, in there, it tells you how you can have a home. That's all I said. Oh, tears came to his face. You know, somewhere along the line, that old black man, probably was a little black boy, and he probably got somewhere or another, sometime or another, they're all going to get to a missionary Baptist church sometime or another. Sometime or another, he looked at that book and looked at it sacredly. He said, I used to go to church. I said, good. Have you ever been saved? Now open the Bible and flip it around. You know, it's a good thing to have the Romans Road memorized because it's almost impossible to read the verses upside down. I'm glad they trained me and taught me memorize the verses. I could point to them and go down through there. I sat there at that. And drank coffee with that guy and showed him the scriptures. And you know what? When I got up and left, the man had a home. He had a home. Okay, what are you saying? Well, I'd love to tell you 5 or 6 more stories. What I'm saying is this. What's this theme this month about? a heart for heaven's homeless. Why are we talking about that? Because, folks, heaven's homeless are, they are young people in leper colonies in Thailand. And they are sitting in coffee shops up in Chicago and Hammond. But they're also right here in Green Sullivan, Clay County. You know, Brother Joe, they come in down at the Marathon Station, don't they, at High Mara. And if you decide that you're going to go out looking for one of heaven's homeless, and by the way, look at me, watch this, never have I had one knock on my door at my home and say, can I come in and sit down and have you show me how to be saved? Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, go. Now that means even those of us that have been blessed, and we do have some sweet people in this church and sweet marriages and sweet homes, and I get it. I get why when you finally get there, you don't want to leave. But if all we're going to do is work and go home and come to church, then we're never going to find the homeless, and we're never going to get them home. You see, we have to at least for an evening or a half a Saturday decide, I'm going to be homeless like Jesus was homeless. I'm going to treat the next half of the day as if I don't have a home so that someone can find a home. The honest truth is, I'd rather be home. I kind of feel that way about heaven right now. I'd rather be home. But you, why did God leave me here? Why has he left you here? Because there's some of heaven's homeless, and we've got to go find them. And we've got to tell them about a place called heaven. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use this message in our lives, dear Lord, and help us. You've blessed us, dear God, and the Christian life is a life full of blessings, and a Christian home is a home filled with blessings. And Lord, we can be so thankful for it, and should be. But I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to find that balance in life. And Lord, there needs to be times when we say it's time to do what Jesus did, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that means we have to go out and look, and we have to go out and find him. I thank you, Lord, that there was a maniac living in the tombs. But you found him. You didn't have a place to lay your head. You found him. You delivered him. You saved him. And then you said, go home. Go home. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that in the Bible there was blind men and men with palsy and lepers. And after they got saved, they went to their own house. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the bigger picture, the Bible principle, the precept that's being taught here. Lord, we have a chance to get some folks home with us. If Jesus reentered heaven and brought a young man with him, Lord, I pray, dear God, we'd pray the prayer, oh Lord, don't let me come empty-handed. Don't let me leave behind an unfinished task. Help us, Lord, to have a heart for the lost. We pray these things in Jesus' name.